Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Maureen Hollering, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Dr. Philip H. Friedman, the Forgiveness Solution, will be joining us. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host, Steve. How are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you, Maureen. Better at last. How are you?
You sound really good, Steve, and we're all happy that you're better at last. You gave me your stuff. No, I didn't get your stuff. I haven't been feeling real well, but it wasn't because of your stuff. It's my new stuff. But I'm really happy. You do sound very good. I was very worried a little bit.
Quite an experience. I had strep throat, and it evolved into something else. And I lost my mind. I woke up one morning on Saturday. I couldn't remember my name. Had to go to hospital. It was hilarious.
Oh my God! Do you know your name now? Yes, you do.
Bobby Marcheso.
Hello, Bobby.
Sorry, Bobby Marcheso, California.
Oh my God!
He's in practicing that one. Well, Steve from Bobby Marcheso, California. Yeah, I think he's doing some mediumship here now because he's channeling Bobby. So, can you tell me what you do?
Name's Marcheso. I'm an amazing psychic medium, and that's Steve Frampton's crap.
So we poke you in a fork and you're done, right? You're medium.
Yeah, that's it, yep.
So is there anything else you'd like to tell us about yourself?
Just Bobby's great.
Oh, Steve, come on. Bobby, you can tell us. Steve does later in a past life. So, Steve, who are you? Where do you come from?
Well, I'm from the UK. I live in Knoxville, Tennessee, very happily. And I'm a psychic medium like Bobby. And I'm also interested in all of the metaphysical tools and systems, really, particularly Hermetic astrology, which I find really useful for understanding people, relationships, events, organizations, and very interesting stuff. Very lucky.
Isn't that a wow factor? So with that said, Brenda, I'm gonna save the women for last because I think we ought to go fuse over to Bobby because they're one and the same. Bobby?
Yes, hello.
Hello, how are you this evening?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you? Is everything all right?
All I want to do is sing My Fair Lady. All I want is a room somewhere. But I won't do that. I'll spare us all lots of chocolate. So, Bobby, Bobby, fusing together. Bobby, who are you and what do you do?
I'm a psychic medium, and that's what I do.
Poke you in a fork and you're done? Is that it?
What's that?
Poke you in a fork and you're done, medium.
That's right. So, tuning into the other side and bringing through loved ones, and then being able to tune into situations or events or a particular person to see where they're at in life. You know, sometimes we get in a fog, don't we? And it's tough to see the bigger picture. So when you kind of look at it from a bigger source perspective, you can kind of give guidelines and maybe instructions like a roadmap on what the next best step would be to take to get where you want. So.
Right. Thank you so much. I just appreciate that. Now, Brenda, how are you?
Yes. Oh, I'm fine. I'm hanging in there.
That's good. It's a hanging in
there.
Yeah,
I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm looking forward to the show.
Yeah, I am too. Looking forward to getting it.
Not that I want to forgive anybody. Forget it. They can just forget it. No, I'm kidding.
Forgo it. There's forbear.
Oh, yes. That's for sure.
And Brenda, can you tell everybody here who you are and what you do? Where you come from?
Well, I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places. I use the crystal ball, tarot, the playing cards, and I work with everybody here on psychicaccess.com.
And yes, you do, and we all love having us all work together everywhere.
Yes, we're just like totally awesome. That's just us.
We're a great group of people.
We are.
And I'm Maureen, and I work with everybody at psychicaccess.com as well. And I'm a intuitive psychic, intuitive psychic empath, which can be kind of draining. But I'm also, this is a good thing that I'll just say. Tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. And I'm very well versed. I'm self-taught in every way, and I love my work. And sometimes it's difficult, but I love my work, and it's the work I'm to do. So there you have it. Okay, so let me go on a little bit here. I know we have my guest on already ready, but I'm going to say Dr. Philip Freeman. I'll find out how he likes to be addressed. He is a licensed clinical psychologist and psychotherapist. He has been participating. He has been practicing, I'm sorry, doctor, practicing psychotherapy and healing for 30 years plus. In the Philadelphia suburbs, Dr. Freeman is on the adjacent faculty of the Institute for Transpersonal Psychology, a diplomat in energy psychology, as well as executive director of the Foundation for Well-Being. And I'm really looking forward to it. And Dr. Freeman, are you there?
I am here, Maureen.
Hi. You know, how would you like me to address you? In name?
Anyway you want. Phil, Dr. Friedman, anything that you're comfortable.
Do you have any preferences?
Still fine. Or Dr. Friedman, whatever you like.
Well, you don't have any preferences. Can I say Dr. Friedman, PhD?
Keep it short.
I mean, really, I am asking with all the most respect that I can, because some people don't like to be called certain things. But, you know, you are a doctor, and you should, you know, be very, I mean, I'd be pushing those those degrees all over town. But I'm really happy that you're here, and a warm welcome to our show. And I've been looking forward to the show. And, you know, back when we debuted this radio show, which was May 2010, I'm pretty sure, I'm going to have to say this, you guys. I am one of the only original from the beginning of the show, radio show. But my first show was on forgiveness, as a matter of fact. So it's almost like I'm coming full circle around years later. This is very special to me, because I picked that show for my first show years ago for a good reason, and I'm still trying to struggle with it. So I wanted to ask you, why did you know, the book is called, and I named the show after your book, The Forgiveness Solution. So everybody that's listening, so you'll know why that's called. And he said, okay. So why did you write this book, The Forgiveness Solution, and how did you come to write it?
Well, actually, it goes back, believe it or not, 30 or 40 years before I got into forgiveness. I had some powerful, actual psychic and spiritual experiences that started me on kind of a search into yoga and meditation, parapsychology, things like that, curling photography, and actually, a friend of mine was president of the local Delaware Valley Society of Parapsychology and invited a gentleman named Doug Dean to give a presentation on curling and photography, which I was very interested in and actually doing a little myself. And at the end of the presentation, he says to me, oh, I want to talk about something completely different now. He says, I want to talk about some channeled writings that came into my possession called A Course in Miracles, and he read these 50 principles of miracles that starts off this 1,200-page set of writings called A Course in Miracles, and it just had chills that went through my spine, when I listened to these principles of miracles. And it turns out I wasn't looking for forgiveness at the time, but it turns out that the main theme of A Course in Miracles has to do with forgiveness. So I quickly started to apply forgiveness to my own life. There was some family conflicts, work conflicts going on at the time. And then I started applying it to the work with the couples and families that I was seeing regularly back then. And then over the years, I started to integrate it, the forgiveness work, I started to integrate it with the other disciplines that I had learned on cognitive behavior therapy, energy therapy, spiritual healing, etc. And then at some point, I decided that it would be a really good thing to pull it together and to write a very practical, this is like a practical workbook, called The Forgiveness Solution, and it integrates many of these different disciplines, but the core theme is that there's one core problem underneath all other problems, and that's unforgiveness, judgments and grievances against ourselves or others, and one core solution, which is forgiveness. That's the short story.
That's a good, I like that. That's a good summation of what you, I mean, I understood. Well, I'm glad you did, because like I said, this is close to many people's hearts. And being in the work that we do, you know, I'm always talking about forgiveness, but I have issues myself with, were you always a forgiving person? Or did you learn it yourself?
I was not always a forgiving person. Like, you know, most people, I grew up with a certain number of judgments and blame of myself and other people who were doing things that I didn't like, you know, and as I said, it wasn't really until I came across A Course in Miracles that the idea of forgiveness even seriously entered my mind, but it's a very psycho-spiritual book and principle, and then I started applying it. There are 365 lessons in A Course in Miracles, and there's quite a few lessons in my book. So I gradually, like most people, learned to develop some level of mastery on forgiveness over many years. Actually, it was 1977 when I came across in Course in Miracles. I didn't actually start writing this book until, 4 or 5 years ago. So it was a long process, you know.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Course in Miracles, as a matter of fact. It's from many years ago. And I can understand. Well, I'll go on to the next one. You know, and forgiveness is hot these days. I think that it was hot back in the day, but I do feel that more and more people are learning it's a very important part of our spiritual development. Is where my view is on it anyway. And so, as you know, many people are talking about it, and the Dalai Lama, and Desmond Tutu, Tutu?
Yes, Desmond Tutu. So they won some big awards by one of the major philanthropic organizations for the, they're talking about forgiveness and the work that they had done in the field of forgiveness. Just about everybody, forgiveness is applies to people personally, relationally, marrially, family, and, of course, spiritually.
Universally, really, isn't it a universal? I mean, it's...
Yes, and, of course, when I said spiritually, I meant universally. And, things happen all the time in our lives and in the world that we call them forgiveness opportunities,
So what is the core... the core theme of the forgiveness solution that you came up with here?
Well, the core theme is that there's one core problem, unforgiveness, which is also defined as judgments, grievances, and attack thoughts that we have against ourselves or other people or God or groups, and one core solution, which is forgiveness. Forgiveness is letting go of those judgments, grievances, attack thoughts, and all of the emotions of anger, resentment, hurt, bitterness, guilt, frustration, fear, etc., that we experience, and learning how to develop more peace, love, joy, happiness, and harmony in our relationships, let alone a connection with Source or God or whatever you want to call it for yourself.
Right. So I wanted to ask you, with your personal process of when you were writing Forgiveness Solution, were you at the point where you had been able to actually, people always talk about, I forgive, but a lot of times, I know for me, it feels like it hasn't happened really. or I haven't done the, it just doesn't feel like it, even though I say I forgive.
Well, you know you're truly forgiven when you're at peace with whatever's happened, or, you know, let's say someone did something that you didn't like and you felt hurt or bitterness or resentment, or you felt guilty about something, you know, when it's like a psychological carpet sweeper. When you're at peace with these people and these situations and yourself, then you know you're forgiven. Until then, it's still a process that's unfolding.
And we can learn this, like in your book, you do indicate that shows we need to, it's a learning thing, how to forgive. It's a learning. Is that so?
Forgiveness is a learning process, because I distinguish in the book between two general paths, the kind of path of the ego, which doesn't want to forgive, and the path of the higher self or the soul that can help guide you to forgiveness. So it's definitely a process, and it's a learning process. And for some people, it takes more time than others, depending on, you know, their life experiences and the good teachers or books they have available and how motivated they are.
Right. So what about the three you mentioned in your book? There's three key areas of forgiveness.
I'm referring to forgiving yourself, forgiving others, and forgiving circumstances, you know, that come up in your life. I mean, there are others, like forgiving God and ethnic groups, but the three main ones are forgiving yourself, forgiving others, you know, like your parents, your siblings, your spouse, your kids, your in-laws, your boss, your colleagues, all those people, and all of the circumstances that come up sometimes unexpectedly in life.
Well, do you think people really forgive, like I was saying earlier, or do they just unconsciously pretend to forgive?
Well,
you know,
some people pretend to forgive, but you know, if you do the exercises and processes in my book, there's many different tools and techniques that I've pulled together from different traditions in my book in an easily understandable way. If you practice them consistently, then you can learn to forgive and develop more peace and love and joy and happiness in your life, and healing and harmony in your relationships. So, for example, I had someone that came to see me a few months ago, and you know, he was screaming at his kids all the time. He was battling with his wife, was threatening to leave. He was hitting the walls, you know, so that he wasn't hitting people. He was fighting with his boss and his brother all the time. You know, he was like a wreck. And through working with me with these different tools and techniques, you know, he learned to relate dramatically different with his kids, so that, you know, by changing his attitudes and the way he talked to him, and now they have a harmonious relationship. He's getting along really well with his wife. Now he gets along so well with his boss at work that all the other people at work come to him to kind of be a mediator between them and the boss. And his relationship with his brother, that probably started it all from a lot of hurt and pain from feeling disrespected and put down as he grew up, you know, that's been transformed. So, you know, over a period of months, 3, 4, 5 months, he's completely transformed all of that, and he's forgiven himself, so that all the guilt he was carrying around, let alone all the anger and hurt and bitterness, is all dissolved and disappeared. Now he's at peace and a very happy person.
So the thing is inner peace. You know, there's something I'm looking at here. Something I pulled off the questions, of course, to ask you. But there's four of us on the show here. There's four hosts. We have one of those, like,
right,
the View thing. And Brenda, who's an Italian, you say something, do people forgive but never forget? And she's always talking about, you know, us Italians, we may forgive, but we never forget. Brenda, you're
yeah.
There.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm married to an Italian, so
it's just a kind of thing, and I can't explain it. It's not like, maybe it's a thing of trust or respect, you know. It's not so much that we don't forgive them, you know, for doing what they're doing. It's like, it's almost like, you know, that we don't forget it because we're on the alert that they might do it again. See what I mean? That type of thing.
But I don't know if that would classify as total forgiveness. I think that phrase, you know, I forgive, but I never forget. I think that's only partial forgiveness. When you're truly forgiven, that sense of vulnerability is gone. That emotional reactivity is gone. You're truly at peace when you're with these people and when you think about these people. And so either you do forget, or the emotional reactivity and the emotional charge that you experience when you're around them or you're thinking about them is gone. So it's
only a partial forgiveness then, huh? It's like 90%, and the other 10% still kind of hanging out there.
It's only a partial forgiveness.
Okay, well, I'm guilty then.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I'm a bit with that too.
You know, in technical terms, neuroscience terms, when you haven't forgiven, when there's a lot of resentment, bitterness, hurt, and all that, the limbic system and the amygdala in the brain is very quickly activated, and the prefrontal cortex is dampened down. So when you're truly forgiven, what happens is the emotional centers of the brain, like the amygdala and the limbic system, they're no longer activated when you think about or in the presence of the others, and the prefrontal cortex is the mental centers of the brain. They are stimulated and they're resourceful now. So you're actually changing the wiring in the brain when you've truly forgiven. You know, when you forgive but you haven't forgotten, then there's still emotional charge there in the emotional centers of the brain that hasn't been, you know, dissolved.
Interesting.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, my daughter's a neuroscience. She'll be graduating UCSD. She's a neuroscience major, and she's always getting on my butt about that. I really need to forgive family members and such, and she says it just doesn't, you know, work if you don't do it. Anyway,
well, it takes a lot of practice. You know, it takes a lot of motivation and practice.
And you know, who are some of the? Well, this is a good one. Who are the people that we need to forgive the most usually?
I think we've been talking about, you know, your parents first, your siblings second, your spouse, your kids, your in-laws, your relatives, you know, your bosses, people you work with. You know, really anybody where there's an emotional charge, which are usually the people that you're closest to, you know.
Unless well, that makes sense.
Completely, but.
Well, you know.
Growth opportunities, you know.
But, you know, I'm wondering, like, I'm just going to go my personal intake, everybody. This is just me. You know, I'm not saying it's for everybody. But, like, you know, Brenda talks about, you know, forgive but never forget. When some people that you may forgive or feel that you have worked it through to forgive, but there are people that are ongoing throughout your maybe family, and they continually do things that are unforgivable, or they are very challenging, let's put it that way. Can it make it very difficult to use some of these techniques?
Forgiveness opportunities, you know?
Yeah.
They're in your life to help you to practice forgiveness.
That's true. That's a good way of looking at it. I like that. Okay, I'll go with that one. But so what are some of the techniques that you can recommend to help us forgive? And are these different than ones you recommend, who are recommended by other authors out there on forgiveness?
Well, there's about 10 categories of techniques I'll just briefly mention. I mean, you want to ask me more about one of them, you can. But there are positive affirmations. There's forgiveness-guided imagery. There's like 14 different ones in my book and a lot of affirmation. There's teaching stories. There's a lot of like energy techniques. I call them positive pressure point techniques. There's meditation and mindfulness. There's practicing gratitude and compassion. There's journaling. There's certain spiritual healing exercises, there's cognitive and attitudinal behavior change exercises. There's a lot of different things that are available and in my book and, you know, of course, other places as well. And so some of the most powerful ones are some of the energy techniques, like the emotional freedom technique and the positive pressure point techniques. These help to dissolve a lot of the hurt, anger, bitterness, and guilt. And I have a lot of couples, for example, that come in where one person is having or had an affair, you know, and there's always a lot of feelings of anger, hurt, bitterness, betrayal, resentment, the whole nine yards there, you know. So there's a lot of forgiveness work that needs to be done if that those relationships are going to be healed, you know. But energy techniques, forgiveness-guided imagery techniques are really good. Certain types of mindfulness techniques are good. Journaling is good. Affirmations are good.
Doctor, I wanted to ask you, what are some of the major benefits of forgiving? And does it really increase our happiness? Why not? Peace, love, and joy, and health, and well-being. I know what your answer is going to be.
Well, one of the things I do in my work as a psychotherapist is I'm very big on empirically tracking change. So I give these measures of peace, happiness, love, joy, well-being, forgiveness, gratitude, compassion to my clients on a regular basis. And you see when people have learned to forgive. Plus, I have several really good forgiveness skills. So as people learn to forgive, all of these qualities, peace, love, joy, happiness, well-being improve, their relationships improve, and frequently their health improves. Like high blood pressure can go down, or migraines can dissolve, or stomach problems can disappear, tension in the shoulders and back problems can dissolve. A lot of health, there's a lot of research that shows now that many areas of actual physical health improve as you forgive, as well as, of course, your relationships with your spouse, your kids, and other assorted people. So it really, a lot of areas of your life can improve. And if you do it a lot of people connect with a deeper spiritual source, like God or whatever higher self or divine
person. I call him God. I call him God. You know, Doctor, one of my co-hosts, Bobby, because I told you there's four of us, he has, if you don't mind, he wanted to ask something, if that's okay.
Sure.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Hi, Bobby.
Hi.
I'm good.
I just wanted you to address your opinion. A lot of people have a rough time forgiving because I think that to them it means that it has to do with a right or wrong situation. In other words, if I forgive this person, that means that they may go out and do this to somebody else, or it's not right what they did, or it isn't fair, and things like that. Can you address, you know, what it is that you believe about forgiveness and the whole right or wrong issue? I think a lot of people get held up on that.
A lot of people ask that question too. Well, in my field, we say, well, you can be right or you can be happy, but you can't have both, you know?
Decide what you want, right or free.
You can choose to be right, in which case you'll be right, but you'll also most likely be miserable. Or you could choose to be happy and free. So I'm looking at a diagram right here in my office here, which is two paths, the path of unhappiness, unforgiveness, and being right, and darkness, or the path of being happy, being free, being, you know, the path of light or the path of darkness, you might say. So now, of course, it doesn't mean that you want to let people, like, take advantage of you and abuse you. And, you know, you have to set certain kinds of limits in relationships that are healing and beneficial to both parties. So you don't want to be a doormat. You don't have to be a doormat just because you're being forgiving, which is sometimes implied in that question. You know, so one, it's an attitudinal thing, and then it's also a behavioral. Did I answer your question, or is there another?
Absolutely, no. Yep, I just wanted your opinion on it, and absolutely, that's what we've talked about before, and I do like the phrase that I've used myself in workshops. You can be right, or you can be free. And so that's good. Thank you very much, sir.
But now there's another thing that's kind of implied between the lines in the question there, and that is, or maybe in this whole discussion, and that is when you're considering how to forgive, it's always good to turn the whole process over to a higher power of force or the Holy Spirit or just some divine inner guidance or something like that, because there is a part, a place within all of us that's wiser and more spiritually advanced that can help us accelerate that forgiveness process and help us do it more rapidly and effectively than if we don't invoke that higher power or force.
Right, absolutely.
Well, you know, thank you, Bobby. That was nice that you brought this up. I appreciate it. Dr. Phil.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Dr. Phil.
Yeah, I like that, Dr. Phil. The original Dr. Phil, though, is probably even better.
I think so. How is your general approach to forgiveness? Oh, I already asked. Well, no, I didn't ask you this yet. Your general approach to forgiveness different from the approach of many of your colleagues?
That's a good question. So a lot of my colleagues start with the assumption that there are victims and victimizers and there are perpetrators and abusers and the abused and that there's sin in the world and evil in the world. Well, none of that exists in my approach. There are errors and mistakes that people make, and every communication is either a call for love or a communication of love. But in my approach, these labels of victim and victimizer and perpetrator and victim, this is all what we call I call in my approach the ego's conceptualization of life and the ego path. But in the more psycho-spiritual approach that I have, that doesn't exist. That everyone is either coming from fear and making mistakes and errors that are calls for love, and we look at people through different lenses, you might say. So we're not forgiving sins or forgiving evil or forgiving... We're seeing that, you know, people are vulnerable and people are always calling consciously or subconsciously. They're calling for help and they're calling for love, even when they've done things that are, let's call them, unresourceful. And people sometimes experience as harmful.
So we approach this with love.
Right. You know, forgiveness brings out... I have a sign right here on my office that says, love flourishes where there's gratitude and forgiveness. So, first of all, that brings in the whole important area of gratitude. Gratitude and forgiveness are like heads and tails on a coin, but the more gratitude and forgiveness you have, the more love flourishes. So... forgiveness and gratitude are going to bring up love in your heart and compassion in your heart, and you can't separate out love from the work on forgiveness, because they go together like, you know, heads and tails.
Yeah. You know, we're going to take a quick commercial from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com, and we'll be right back with Dr. Phil.
Okay,
I like that.
Sounds good.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com?
And we're back talking to Dr. Phil. I just kind of like that. I hope you don't mind. Anyway, we were talking about why forgive. I know all about why forgive. It is liberating. And I have been trying to get to that place for I don't know how long ongoing. And I it's so toxic not to forgive for me.
Well, it's toxic for everybody not to forgive.
Yeah. I guess I'm being very honest
you're
about
not
myself
alone,
here.
You're in good company.
So, you know, let's go into this a bit because, you know, forgiveness is related to compassion, gratitude. We're just talking about that contentment. Forgiveness is not to dismiss anything or what anybody did. Forgiveness is for the individual that needs to forgive. Is that correct?
It's partially correct, and I must admit that I often have emphasized it that way because it is a way to relate to people and motivate them to begin the forgiveness process. But forgiveness is just as much a interpersonal or relational process as it is a personal process. In other words, at the highest level, everyone you see out there is like your brother or sister, and at a very high level of forgiveness, they are like your savior, you might say, that they have the capacity to bless you and to be blessed in the process of forgiveness. So as you forgive other people, you are creating, you're eliminating the separateness that exists between you and other people, and you're allowing the process of blessing to take place. So it's a relationship process as well as an individual process.
Oh, I like that, because we're collective. I mean, I'm all for union. I love union, Carl Jung, about that we're all collectively connected. And so what you're saying, it is it's a you know, collective process, then, is what you're saying, is what I hear you saying.
Well, they say in A Course in Miracles that all minds are joined. At a higher level, all minds are already mm-hmm. joined. So every thought, every feeling that you have in relationship to another person is automatically connects with the mind of that other person. So mm-hmm. when you forgive someone and then you bless someone, you are already connecting with it. It brings about a sense of oneness at the highest level, and so that's why it can be a very spiritual process now. Not everyone starts out seeing it that way, but that is the highest level of forgiveness, to see, basically, to see that the other person not at the ego level, which is where you're feeling all that hurt, guilt, resentment, but at a spiritual level where we're all connected, that other person is like the Christ, the Buddha,
mm-hmm.
the divine light, you know. So you have to learn to go to a higher level in order to experience that and to see that. But that's the highest level of forgiveness. It's like a ladder. I like to talk in terms of the ladder of forgiveness. Now, we all start at the bottom of the ladder, but as you get to the higher level of the ladder, you can see that your brother, your sister, I'm using that word generically, is the Christ, is the Buddha, is the divine light, is in that sense your savior. And it's a great opportunity for personal, relational, and spiritual growth. And is there in your life for that purpose. There's no accident who comes into your life from this perspective, you see.
I agree. I agree with that. You're absolutely right. There's a lesson to be learned with somebody that... Well, you know, Dr. Phil, I'm wondering, how could you tell somebody listening... We have a chat room here, too, and other people, you know, and our listeners. How could you... Or can you give any insight to the basics for somebody that's not read your book yet and wants to try to get to a point where they're going to forgive a sibling, let's say, for something that goes way back, ongoing, what would be the process or the first thing, advice or insight you could give to that person to begin?
Well, I'll just teach a very little simple energy technique, okay? Now, here's what you do. You take a few fingers on, say, your right hand, and you're going to tap on the side of your left hand. We call it the karate chop point, like where you do a karate. You tap continuously on the side of the hand, and then you say, even though I have this hurt, this disappointment, this resentment, this bitterness, whatever words you're feeling, I accept myself deeply and profoundly. And I am a good, confident, and magnificent person. You repeat that a few times. Even though I have this hurt, anger, bitterness, resentment, guilt, I accept myself deeply and profoundly, and I am a good, competent and magnificent person. Then you say, you keep tapping and you say, I love myself unconditionally, despite my problems, limitations, and challenges, and despite all these feelings I'm having. I love myself unconditionally. And then you keep tapping and then you say, and I am entitled to miracles. Say that three times. I am entitled to miracles. I am definitely entitled to miracles. And a miracle is like a shift in perception and experience that allows love to flow into your life. Now, those are just some initial steps, but you wanted me to help people to start somewhere, so that's one way to do it.
No, I think that's a great, that's absolutely great. I appreciate that. Thank you. I do want, somebody has a question. And I think it's Steve.
Thank you, Maureen. I do. It's a fascinating show. Thank you. I wanted to just explain something that I experienced and then ask your view about it. I was in a relationship for 8 years and I left that relationship very hurt and very angry. And I work in metaphysics, so I do a lot of energy work. Uh-huh. And I feel as though, you know, I've developed a strong energy. And I learned 4 years after my separation that my partner hadn't worked since we separated. He'd never been able to find a job. And I felt upset about that. And I did a lot of work on forgiveness. Uh-huh. And once I'd done that really detailed work on forgiveness, he found a job. And I wondered if energetically my negativity or my anger may have been holding him back. And I found it happened after my second relationship as well, a shorter period of time, but I was angry about the end of the relationship and upset with my partner and learned that he couldn't find a job either. And when I did the forgiveness work, he did. So my question is, do we hold others back? Does our anger cause blockages for other people?
Excellent question. Excellent question. I would say yes, because, you know, all minds are joined energetically. All minds are joined. And I found many times when, you know, if I was upset with someone or something and I practiced forgiveness and, you know, and nothing was happening in the relationship or in some aspect, something important, and I forgive, and when I was at peace, then I get at peace. And, you know, a few hours later, I get a call or get an email from the internet, you know, inviting me to get together or something like that. It's like something shifted in the universe or in the relationship, as you're, you know, you're talking about. As soon as you truly forgive and you're at peace. And so, yes, there's an energetic shift that takes place, and this can take place anywhere in the world in any relationship. In fact, in the Course in Miracles, there's one great lesson that says, when you're healed, you're not healed alone. Many, many people all over the country that you have never even met and never will met are healed along with you. That's the power of forgiveness. So you may have healed other people as well as this person.
Well, hello? Wonderful. Thank you.
It's a great one. Steve, you know, Bobby has a question. If that's what, I'm letting my co-host just go for it. Bobby, go on.
Well, it's not so much a question as to, so from the place that you teach and help guide people towards forgiveness, for you, what are maybe some of the first couple of things that a person can begin to do when they think that they're even ready to start forgiving? You know what I mean? There has to be that, okay, I think I'm ready now. So what would you recommend, like the first couple of steps for somebody to be in that place?
Well, honestly, of course, I'm biased, of course, but I would have them, you know, read my book and do the exercises. I mean, every client of mine, I give them, literally give them a copy of my book, and I tell them to read, you know, two or three chapters at a time, bring do the exercises and bring them in. Now, having said that, I mean, honestly, that's what I think is most helpful. But, you know, that little exercise I just gave is just the, one of the introductory steps. I teach that to all my clients at the end of the first session. I go into it a little bit more detail. And then there's a series of follow-up techniques, energy techniques, like you tap on the side of your hand and you say, anything is possible. I'm entitled to miracles. miracles are happening. Miracles come from love and forgiveness. So you tap on the side of your hand, that's an energy point on the side of your hand, and you repeat that phrase. Anything is possible. I'm entitled to miracles. Miracles are happening. Miracles come from love and forgiveness. So I tell people to practice these exercises like five or more times a day. I call this the psychological uplifter. And this is a way to get started. Now, in my book, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of story. That's another thing that's actually really helpful. There's a lot of really uplifting stories that either my clients or stories that I've, you know, other people have told about the forgiveness process. And when you read about stories of other people who have done it in challenging situations, it serves as like a model for you and that helps guide you along the way. So it's good to, you can just go on the internet and put in forgiveness stories in Google or something or other, and you'll read about a lot of fascinating stories of other people who have done the forgiveness process in areas related to, you know, ones that are challenging for you or me. Now, I have this guided imagery process. I have 14 guided imagery forgiveness exercises that you can, you know, purchase off my website. That's another one. These are excellent forgiveness guided imagery exercises. They really help a lot, too. They're in the book as well.
What about those that you have found that say, well, I've forgiven that? Have you run across people? Well, I definitely have forgiven, let's say, a sister, and you find that by no means have they. And they feel otherwise.
You know, people kill themselves sometimes, you know. So, but, you know, like that example I told of that gentleman who came in with all this anger towards his kids and his wife, et cetera. But, you know, you knew that he had truly forgiven because all the people around him started telling him how different he was and how calm he was now and what a different person he was. When you get that kind of feedback, you know that something has truly happened. But if you don't get some kind of positive feedback from others, then you're just, you know, pretending or in denial or deluding yourself.
Or oblivious. Dr. Phil, I was wondering, as far as I do get that forgiveness is related very much so to spiritual transformation, for me anyway, because it's been draining me spiritually when I have not been very forgiving, when I'm unforgiving. And I think that it affects my work, it affects me, it affects me. me. It really does. And that's what it is. Forgiveness is not so much for the other person, although, like Steve brought up a good point about how that worked for him, but it's for the individual to move on.
Well, you know, that's another good point. Until you forgive and you can't move on in life, you're stuck, you know. It's like you're trapped. As soon as you forgive, you can move on, you know. You can let go of the past, let go of the emotional pain, and move on in your life. Well, and look, in the example he gave, when he forgave, then his partner was able to move on. So not only was, you know, could he move on, but his partner was able to move on.
Yeah, that was pretty enlightening, Steve, by the way. That story is great.
But also it has powerful relationship consequences.
Is there anything that you find is not forgivable?
Personally, no. But, you know, I know there are plenty of people who would, would disagree with that. But, you know, I was just reading this morning, well, actually, not this afternoon. I was just reading this afternoon about, you know, people who had been part of the whole Aurora, Colorado thing in the movies, you know, and one person who survived it, and he was already forgiving the, you know, the murderer, you know. And he was telling, you know, why he was willing to forgive, you know. I mean, that's a... that's a pretty powerful, challenging situation, you know. And same thing in, you know, in Newtown, Connecticut, you know. It's like there are people who are deep into forgiveness who are willing to forgive some of the more, you know, horrendous things, seemingly horrendous things. So I'm of the opinion that, well, my brother-in-law, he died in a hotel fire where 25 people were killed back in 1980, and they said it was arson. This is my wife's brother, you know, so it took a little while, to say the least, to forgive in that situation, but it is possible, and sometimes, you know, it takes a lot of time in the more difficult situations. It can take months or years, but it can be done.
Right.
But it is an attitude. It is a shift in perception and a shift in attitude, and it does bless a lot of people when you finally come to forgiveness.
Well, you know, that's a good point because you just brought up your personal story there about the person. Like I said, forgiveness is this show is very personal to me. Well, of course. But like I said, the first show I ever did when we debuted this radio show years ago was on forgiveness. And the person that I brought on was a woman who her father killed her mother and married her aunt, and her story was pretty intense. How could you forget? You know, that's just, but
right,
she
found, one, right?
But she found that she couldn't live. She couldn't be free to live her life until she was able to forgive. And
right,
she went through, it was very challenging.
The other one I was reading about today was, you know, someone, a drunk driver who killed two people and the mother. You know, at first she was a lot of anger, hurt, bitterness, but over time she came to forgive the person who, you know, killed her daughter and eventually went to see him in jail and developed a relationship. You know, they were writing to each other and then went to visit him, and she ended up, you know, pleading with the judge to reduce his sentence from 22 years in life to half of that, which the judge did. You know, and then she came to care a lot about him. So even in the most difficult circumstances, it is possible, you know, to forgive. But, you know, obviously it's very challenging.
Right, but also it's a very challenging need.
It's a very challenging need, right. But the benefits are enormous, you know.
Yes, I agree, because it's
enormous.
Liberating.
You know, a lot of people come in with back problems, and as I said, migraine problems, heart problems, blood pressure problems. When they're forgiven and all of that emotion is dissolved, then their health problems clear up.
Yeah, and they get to live.
And they get to live longer. They get to live, and they get to live longer, right.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Friedman, we're almost to the end of the interview, and I'd like to know if there's any last or anything you'd like to share, if you're doing any workshops. We do have all your contact information, of course, but is there anything you'd like to, you know, tell us about, you know, in addition to your book? You've written other books, too, I'm pretty sure, yeah. And
on creating well-being, but, well, two things. I'd encourage people to go to my website, www.forgivenesssolution.com. And also, just as actually, since you arranged this, I discovered quite accidentally that the book is now available on audio through audible.com and Amazon, and also through iTunes, where I downloaded it.
Great. I like audio. I like audio. That's fantastic.
I didn't even know it was happening. And my final quote is that more miracles come from forgiveness and gratitude than anything else. More miracles come from forgiveness and gratitude than anything else.
I like that. That's lovely. I like that. And I will. Maybe I'll do that as my mantra when I'm working on my forgiveness stuff. I plan to read your. Well, now it's on audio. I like audio. I plan to hear your book, definitely. And we have all the we have all that information too on your guest page. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but we have all the information to contact Dr. Friedman at the website www.forgivenesssolution.com, and also you can say it right now, your other websites too. You have two more, I think, don't you?
Well, the two main websites are Philip Friedman, one Alan Philip, and Friedman, F-R-I-E-D-M-I-N, .com, and then the forgiveness one is theforgivenesssolution.com, and you know, the book and the audio tapes and all the good stuff can be looked at or purchased there, plus a lot of quotes and other interesting, you know, material.
Yeah,
there,
and also I spent a lot of time on the forgivenesssolution.com. There's a great amount of information about your book and everything else. It's really intense. It's really informative, everybody. So I would definitely check that out, as well as we have your books listed on your guest page. And I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us this evening. I appreciate your work. And your
I appreciate you inviting me. It was a pleasant surprise, and I was delighted to get it. So thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, it was a pleasant surprise that you joined us. I really appreciate you joining us.
Well,
I think
I have
this
a
is something.
Special affinity for spiritual people and psychic people. So I, you know, when I saw the invitation, I knew I was in good company. You know.
Yeah, you know what I wanted to bring up real quick? Transpersonal. You say my sister is a transpersonal psychologist. As a matter of fact, a lot of people. Now, when I saw that, I go, well, a lot of people, well, don't use that much anymore, transpersonal. But you have quite a background, definitely. In addition to your spiritual self, and I really appreciate you writing this book. And now on audio, so I can hear it.
Yeah, now it's on audio, which is great and surprised me. But, you know, I know a lot of psychics and spiritual people and mediums and all those good things, so I always feel in good company when I have the opportunity to interact or talk with people like yourself.
Likes of us, huh? No, I appreciate it. Well, thank you,
and
Dr. Friedman, for joining us.
I understand that term, empath, very well.
Empath. It's totally torment. I can feel.
Sometimes it's great, and sometimes it's like the torment, if you said.
Well, feeling a lot of stuff of others. But that's why I think forgiveness is such an important thing for me, because I feel so much. Well, we all feel, but I mean, well, you know, well, I could go on with that another show, but so Dr. Friedman, thank you so much, and I wish you well, and I look forward to listening to your book on audio, absolutely, for me.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Friedman, and I wish you well, and I'm sure I'll talk to you again for help.
Okay, great, wonderful. I enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot. Have a good night. Bye-bye. Okay. Everybody, to contact Dr. Friedman, please visit his website at www.forgivenesssolution.com. And also, his guest page is listed with everything in his books and all that as well. And I do appreciate him coming on. And now audio book is all about what I like. Audio. Books on audio for me is one thing I like. I don't know about you guys. My co-host, what do you think? I like listening to things.
I like to read it, but, you know, audio's, I don't have time to listen. I mean, I like to read when I can.
I don't have time to read as much as I nowadays as I have time to listen, like to our archives.
Oh, I mean, well, that's a different thing, the archives and stuff. Yeah, I could listen to the archives.
But, yeah, thanks, Brenda. Thanks, everybody, Steve and Bobby, for interacting with the guests. I appreciate it. I like that myself, but that's just me. So I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your, free on-air reading with our gifted psychics, Bobby, Brenda, and Steve and Maureen. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready, or if you prefer to use a pencil and not, you know, paper and a whatever. If you were unable to catch our last week's show on Awakened Soul to Soul that Bobby anchored, it was a fine show. You will find a recorded archive link as well as all the archives of previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. So please feel free to circulate the archives link to and future show details to your friends, family, and your forgiven friends, and family. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. Also, please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site. It's excellent. And you can, it's a site you can go to and read to learn about everything from paranormal, forgiveness, reincarnation, to mediums like Bobby and Steve, to like the Brendas and me, and how to use a psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from a list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. I'd also like to point out that we all have videos that we introduce ourselves also, which is, I think, a great feature. So you can see us as well, read about us. So it is an honor working with Doug at Psychic Access because of his high expectations required of each psychic. And I have been working with Doug for not too long time. And he's always had a very ethical background as far as making sure every psychic is ethical on the site. And I vouch for that. We all are good. So all the co-hosts here at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. So if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. And also, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. So for more information, details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show again, please invite your friends, their animals, to join in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody. And I think that kind of qualifies every show we've had since 2010. So spread the word. We'd appreciate it. So I'm going to say the call-in number now. Wait for it, Brenda, or someone that's going to type it in. The call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. And I would like to say to please wait to call that number when our lines will be open at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is in about 15 minutes or so. So there you have it. Banter time. Yahoo. Yahoo. Bobby?
Yes, darling.
Banter.
What? you forget me like I'm a performing monkey over here.
You forgive me? Do you forgive me?
Maureen, there is no forgiveness, because I know who you are and accept you.
Oh, isn't that sweet? And
oh, you're so full of it, Bobby. Oh, jeez. Come on. Get real.
Bobby, do you find forgiveness easy for you? I mean, to forgive... You know, it's really weird, isn't it? I'm sorry.
Here's the thing. I don't look at forgiveness as a thing to do. In other words, most people use forgiveness as a one-up. Well, I forgive you, as if, you know what I mean, like it's in my power and authority as looking at you from a God figure. I forgive you, and maybe others won't, but I will. You know, which puts me in a better place than you or makes me a better person than you. I think also the only other reason that we choose to try to forgive people is because we think that they've done something wrong in the first place. I think people do what they do. There's characteristics and things about people that they do what they do. I think that triggers things in you or other people, because you have your own reactions of how you were hurt before and somebody supposedly does something wrong to you and then you have to try to forgive that person. I think that the more compassion and understanding you have of people, so let's just use my father as an example. I was very mad at him and how I grew up and things. And there are a lot of people who have had rough childhoods growing up. when I grew older and gained some understanding, I realized the type of life that he came from wasn't the best either. And he only did what he did because he didn't know any better. He didn't know how to act. The state of mind that he was in, he couldn't say or do or act anything different. So upon knowing that, forgiveness automatically came up. Do you see what I mean? So when you turn it back on yourself, releasing on the feelings of feeling hurt or wronged or whatever you're feeling, don't make forgiveness about the other person. I think that forgiveness naturally rises up to the surface. Like, you just automatically begin to feel better about the person. You don't just continue to point fingers and blame. So once you stop blaming and take responsibility on your own end of it, but as long as you put forgiveness as a barrier between you and the other person, it will be a tough thing to accomplish. You're looking at, I have to forgive this person for this evil that they did, or this bad that they did. And that can be very impossible, and yes, takes a lot of time to do. So I don't think that forgiveness is about that. That's just my personal viewpoint.
No, I like that. You're very passionate about that and very clear. I heard you. I hear you clearly. I hear you clearly. Yes, I do.
And fire, right? It took. He says it took years to try to forgive that. Well, you can't forgive something like that. That's what happened. That's what this guy did. It's a very tragic situation. You know, who really has great forgiveness down are the Amish people. There was a shooting in their school at one point several years ago, and they had invited the shooter's mother to join them in their prayer circle. There is no forgiveness. We all have loss here. Mm-hmm. It's your son did this to our people. When you get rid of the finger pointing and the blame, they invited again the shooter's mom to be a part of the prayer circle because they realized that she had a loss too. She's not responsible for what the decisions he made, her son, right?
Right.
Once you let all of that go, forgiveness automatically comes, and it's just part of love. But it's not something to do or something to be, or again, as some kind of a one-up or a barrier.
No, I like that. I like what you're saying. It's not an ego thing. You know, like, you're right. So, well, I forgive you because I'm all that. And yeah, you're right. I got that. Very good. Very good. I like the perspective. And I'm clapping, giving you a clap. That's good. Brenda, what's up with you with that?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I think that everybody, you know, who's listening is thinking about their own situations and how they would approach it and everything. And then it goes along with their own philosophies. And I really agree with what Bobby said, because really, you know, the forgiveness, when it comes, is about, you know, it's not you handing them something like, this is what I'm giving you just so that I'm going to make myself great. No, it has to be something that you do for yourself, really, because that becomes the reflection. Do you see what I mean? But I also think that each individual, you know, you have to be ready. You have to be ready. I mean, there's a certain amount of fear, I think, that is encompassed in some, you know, forgiveness. Like, for example, you know, if we're talking about, you know, if you forgive, this forgiveness, because I really believe when Dr. Phil was talking about, and even when Steve was talking about the situation that he had, and then when he did the forgiveness, that opened up a lot of things. Well, perhaps some people are afraid that, okay, well, if I forgive, then it's going to open up those channels again. It's going to open me up again. It's going to open, you know, but you can't think of it that way. But that, I believe, is a perceived fear for a lot of people. And I'm not using the example of Steve's example, but I'm using an example. Say it's somebody that you, even in your family, because there's a lot of bitterness in families, and, you know, there's a lot of things that are, you know, water under the bridge, blah, 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 right? And, you know, there is the conscious decision on many people with family members that, you know, I will not get real involved with them because I know what they can do. I know how they act out, and I know how it affects me, and I know how I can get hurt, kind of thing. So my feeling on that is that, you know, when you're ready, you have to be ready to accept whatever consequence comes through it too. Like, you know what, they could be like calling you up again or wanting to be in your life again. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
you totally get that, don't you?
Yes, right? I do.
And you can open yourself up to the same behavior and maybe be preyed upon.
Again, having to be forgiveness again. You're right.
See what I mean? And get into a cycle of that whole thing again.
I agree.
So
And I understand what you're saying very much. So, as you know, I can identify with that. That's where I think I get confused about it.
Because on the one end, you don't want to be blocked by, you know, like thinking, well, you know, all these things are going haywire in my life because I'm not forgiving so-and-so. But then on the other hand, and that's why you have to really take a real good look at it. You could, you know, by not entering into that realm again, you may not be blocked more. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do. Well, I do. You know, I see exactly. I hear.
Hear me, right? Hear me, sister.
Yeah, I hear you because we have, you know, a little bit of the same sometimes stuff. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, yes. And that's where I get kind of confused about it, because once you forgive one thing, then boom, another thing comes around. Or you can open yourself up to another. and you know what? Then I start thinking, maybe it's me, but no.
And you know what I think about that? Maybe it's me, you know, the whole thing. Maybe it's me, you know, blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, there are certain people and certain behaviors that, you know, people don't change. They are who they are. I mean, doesn't mean they're going to change and everything's going to be all hunky-dory. See what I mean?
And that may be the case, but you can forgive ongoing ongoing behaviors, but then they're crazy. Then we go into the crazy maker, another show topic we've talked about before.
Exactly. What was it, psychic vampires or something?
Yeah,
like
that? Yes, the crazy makers. It's true.
The crazy makers.
And then the forgiving. That was all cross references here.
Oh, narcissists. That was the one. Yeah. That one was really classic. Yeah.
Yeah. The narcissist or likes to orchestrate but in that, okay, so it gets exhausting.
It can be exhausting, you know?
Yes, Brent, I follow you exactly.
It's a rubber band effect.
It is a rubber band effect. Or ricochet and then it makes me feel like, when am I going to liberate myself? Except, again, I like jumping out of airplanes, which I haven't done in a while. Maybe that's just gives the whole thing splat.
Think of the splat at the end.
Yeah, splat at the end. That'd be total forgiveness for me. Just saying. But Steve, hi. Thanks, Brenda.
Hello.
Steve, did you have a story, or did you already talk about this story? You said you had some really great...
Got lots of stories, Maureen, but that was the one. The fact that when we develop our spiritual abilities and our energy, our ability to work with energy and project energy, whether that's to connect with spirit or to connect with other people psychically or to use energy for healing, the more powerful we become, the more we have to be responsible with our thoughts and our projection of energy. Because as I said, I realized that I can make things happen. It's not that I'm special. We can all make things happen. We are all always making things happen. I have a beautiful bangle that I was given, and it has a Sanskrit saying on it that the whole universe lies within you. And really, that reflects the fact that we are really powerful. And when we are aware of that power and we learn to use it alchemically to create, we have to be really careful what we're creating, because you can create great challenges for yourself or other people if you're not careful. And I did realize that I was holding my ex back. And it's really, I find the whole subject of forgiveness difficult, because despite all of my studies and my work, and despite trying to be a good person, I would say forgiveness is something I've really struggled with in my life. I would say probably the area in which I've experienced most pain is relationships, personal or romantic relationships. And it's very interesting because when you look at somebody's hermetic astrology or astrology, you can analyze the houses in the chart, and those houses are the different departments of life or compartments of the soul. And where you see weakness or you see a malefic planet like Saturn or Mars, you know that that person has evolved in such a way through previous experiences of consciousness, but they've evolved in such a way that they've experienced pain in that part of their life or lives. And so in my chart, the house of long-term relationships is the weakest and the most discordant. And therefore, I know that romantic relationships, long-term relationships, are something that have caused me a lot of suffering in previous experiences of consciousness. And I continue to have repeated that in this lifetime. But when we become aware of the pattern, we can change it. And I would say my way of reaching forgiveness was accepting responsibility, accepting that I am in control of everything, even if I am unconsciously manifesting, because 90% of us is the soul, the astral body, the astral brain, what a psychologist or psychiatrist would describe as the unconscious self. And the unconscious self is extremely powerful and is manifesting and repeating patterns that are ingrained through many experiences of consciousness. And when we accept responsibility for what we're manifesting, even if we feel things were beyond our control, we are manifesting everything. And accepting responsibility for it, I think, enables us to forgive, or it's enabled me to forgive. So I always feared that my first partner would be unfaithful, and I was obsessive about it throughout the whole relationship, and it came from low self-esteem in myself. And sure enough, I manifested that. Of course I did. That's what I was resonating and fearing for years. It's not to excuse the other person's choice, but to accept responsibility for what I created and realize that there are lessons in that for me. And it's only by accepting responsibility and moving beyond it and choosing differently that I can change the pattern. And that enabled me to forgive that it was my responsibility. And then also accepting that we're all one thing. So I am responsible for what you do on some level, because you are me and I am you.
And we are me and you together. It is a whole thing.
Yeah,
sorry, well, it's universal, interconnected energy, you know.
Yeah, and we're programmed to
like attracts like, and everything. I mean, it's all there. So
yeah,
be careful what you say. Be careful what you think. You know, thoughts absolutely. And words are action.
Well, they say, Brenda, that the body is fed with physical food, and the soul or the astral mind on the astral plane, the spirit is fed by thought. Everything occurs first on the astral plane, mm-hmm. and it downloads into the physical. So our thoughts are literally molding the astral body, the soul, and then that downloads into the physical body. So we do have to be really careful about our thoughts and be very conscious in projecting good thoughts. And, you know, I realized that the only person that suffered through my anger was me. I don't think my ex had his life on hold worrying about my anger, or even stopping to think about whether I might be angry or the extent to which I was hurt. So the only person suffering was me. And I say that to clients, be as angry as you want. The only person it hurts is you. It's only going to make you ill, not the other person. I accept responsibility.
Yeah, that's so true.
That's a good point. It's the whole responsibility thing. And that's what I was getting to too. It's like, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like, when we talk about the whole forgiveness thing and we talk about, you know, well, I believe just as we have responsibility, the other person has responsibility. They have a certain amount of responsibility too, you know. They have a responsibility in the action which happened, you know, to cause forgiveness. Do you see what I mean? So, I mean, I don't want to play God or goddess, but, you know.
No, I like the goddess part.
It's a kind of balance, You know, it's about balance. Yeah, I really feel it's about balance. And we as psychic beings and people who do the work, we kind of know when it's the right time. You know, you can feel it around you. You know, you really do. You feel like, you know what, this is what I need to do to move forward.
Yes, I agree. You know, I want to give out the number again for people to call because our lines are open. Get on board now. The number is 724-444-4851. And I also want to tell people when they call, unfortunately, we don't have a green room like Oprah, but you'll be able to either call or you can ask your question in the chat room. However, we do need to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. So the call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So just, you'll hear the show. So just relax and listen to the show while you wait. And we also would really appreciate if you'd be really clear and direct with your question. We can only take one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all the calls waiting for reading, and also with our time restraints, give you a better reading. Everybody, just saying. Just saying as an S-A-Y-I-N. So, the thing about the forgiveness thing, I don't feel I'm a hypocrite, but I think forgiveness is really important. And for me, I've been struggling with it because of the ongoing things that it pops up and I have to forgive about something else again. Maybe I should just give a whole corporate parent company because I'm a proprietress. No, do a corporate parent company and hover around all the forgiveness and just leave it at that. I don't know if anybody understood what I just said, but it just, you know, go on, interact, anybody, go for it. I'm not on mute, no.
Well, what about a pyramid, a forgiveness pyramid scheme? A Ponzi's forgiveness. One will start, then you got to have somebody else.
It is about releasing from false ego, though. I'm really sure of that.
You know, it's true. You know,
it's a thing.
It lays you bare in many ways. So that is, you know, that
we've already had our kids, though. We can be barren.
That's true. You know, our kid, we have our wonderful daughters, don't we, Maureen?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We have daughter geniuses, don't we?
Yes, we have daughter geniuses. And I'm very forgiving about that. No, I'm very grateful and gratitude about that. But it's just, you know, I don't want to be ongoing forgiveness. And some people may say, I have nothing to forgive. It cracks me up. There's another show again, maybe. I don't know. But I'm a kind person. Don't I bleed the same as this? Okay, now no one's seen the heartache. I'm joking. I'm not doing the poor me route, but I just think.
Are you sure? I'm not kidding.
I'm not. But I just think that do we have a caller yet? I don't know. You know what, callers?
Did you get excited right there?
No, I didn't. You know what? But it happens sometimes in our show, and everybody kind of waits around. And I think that 724-444-4851, for those who are not in the chat room listening, now's the time to call because we have our line open. And then we get down to the end of the show and we're trying to get everybody we can. But we do take chat questions as well. I'm not in there to see if there's anything going on in the chat question. I don't know. Maybe people don't want our unforgiving insight. I don't know. No,
I think that we're really, you know what? I think we're speaking for an awful lot of people. I believe that that's
true. Yes. Yes.
This is what they really think. They might, you know, I believe it's a rare thing to be selfless enough to put that out there. I mean, that is something that has to really, you know, you have to be ready for, you have to be prepared for, you have to really consciously do. That's what I think. If it's going to be real, do you know what I mean? Not just something you do just to do and not really ascribe to it, not really believe it. See what I mean?
Right. I agree. And so, Bobby, we haven't heard from you lately.
Well, I'm just listening.
Yeah, he's listening to our pearls of wisdom, right, Bobby?
That's right.
Oh, you know, I think we're having a little bit of an issue with our call-in number. Oh, never mind, because it seems like Texas got in for Steve.
Yeah, Steve want. Yeah, Texas wants Steve.
Texas for Steve.
Great.
There you have it.
Hello, Texas. How are you?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. What's your name?
Miriam.
Miriam, how can I help?
Just wondering if you'd have insight. I met someone last week, and we went on our first date on Saturday. I believe it went well, but I haven't heard from him. So wondering if that just fizzled out and I should move on, or what to expect.
So you went on Saturday and you haven't heard from him since?
Right.
Well, I feel that it did go well. I mean, logically, it seems a little odd not to hear from him over a few days. And I think that says something about him rather than you. Mm-hmm. But that said, the cards are saying that love is definitely on the horizon for you and that it will work out really well. But the first card I've got is actually Knight of Cups reversed, and therefore I don't feel it's him. But straight after it, I've got the Ace of Cups and then the Six of Cups, and therefore I feel that he's not the one, and I would be concerned about you making him the one if he hasn't been in contact since Saturday when you went on the date.
Right.
But I feel that you're very close to meeting a really great guy, and I know from what my guides show me that he's very professional, very successful, very career oriented, and he's got real integrity. So the short answer in summary is I feel the date went well. I feel you're a fantastic girl. You're extremely interesting, smart, and creative, and sexy. My guides say, not him, but you're very close to meeting someone wonderful, because to have the Ace of Cups and the Six of Cups as the cards moving forward is just wonderful. It's what you want to see. Does that answer your question?
Wow. Yes, absolutely. I was just a little baffled because, you know, we had spent about 6-7 hour date together, and you know, I thought it went well. He said, I definitely want to see you again, and then it just mysteriously vanished. So, but I'm glad you made that clear for me.
Yeah, I mean, give him a chance. I would be open to hearing from him. I don't think he's a bad guy or anything like that. And it may well be that, you know, he's got some challenging circumstances, but the cards are very clear. The cards are saying he's not the one, but the right guy is very close. So you've got to stay very clear. You know, we've been talking about manifestation. You have to stay very clear about what you're looking for in terms of characteristics. And staying true to that means deselecting someone that isn't displaying those characteristics and being strong, holding out for what you really want. I do feel that you'll hear from him in the next few days, and I suspect you'll see him again. I don't feel that you'll pursue a long-term relationship with him. I feel that there's someone else that is very close. Okay?
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much, Steve. Yeah,
you're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Steve. Good luck. I mean, good luck. You're a good reader. Anyway, we have a Bobby. There's a do you have that in front of you? You want to read?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You want me to read it? So there's Elena in the chat room that says, good evening. My mother seems to be stuck in her unforgiveness for over 40 years, and it continues to affect my siblings and family. What can I do to help? I don't know, but good luck. Okay, Maureen.
Okay. Thank you, Bobby. Bobby's messing with you. Okay.
I am messing with you.
Yes.
So here's the thing, Elena. Your mom's unforgiveness, really tough to see somebody go down that path, isn't it? It's tough to watch them it just eats away. And it doesn't need to affect the family. In other words, more people need to just realize where she's at, where she's coming from, why she has this. When you jump on board with it, you're going to be affected. It affects you, but I think it affects you differently because of the effect it's having on people. Do you see what I mean? So I don't think it has the same effect on you that it does on the family and the siblings. That's not what I'm picking up on. I think you have a really good heart. And the only thing that we can do to help other people forgive is just simply soothe them. You can't tell them to forgive. You can't explain a situation. You can't say, well, mom, you got to forgive because it's this, or, you know, he only did this and he didn't mean to. But you can't explain it away. So you can only soothe a person, just like a mom does when a child falls off a bike. Yes, there's first aid, but sometimes there's hurts that you don't need first aid. I need my mommy, right? So moms are there. So the only thing that would be beneficial for everybody is just soothe her as she's going through this really rough time. It's not that after 40 years you cannot forgive. You can. But where your mom is at right now, I don't see that she's going to let this go anytime soon. So you might as well love them where they're at. Maybe before she leaves this earth, she'll have some insight and let it go before she crosses over. But sometimes people don't. And as far as other people, the siblings and the family being affected by this, look, that's their own opinions, their own stuff. They have to deal with forgiveness in their own way. You know, they have to forgive their mom and not let it affect them the way that it does. It's up to each individual to take care of it on their end. You can only take care of you. You can only take care of your feelings and your understanding about the situation. That's all. That's all. And then help love everybody else through the really tough time. I worked with a client one time when there was four or five people involved and just explosion, shrapnel, you know, everywhere from this event that happened. And instead of everybody pointing fingers and blaming and things like that, one person decided, you know, somebody has to love everyone in this. The person who's at blame, the other people who jumped on board and blamed the other person and blah, 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 blah. Somebody has to bring the love to the situation. And just, we're all hurt. We all got the shrapnel. We all were affected by this. And somebody just needs to love through all of that. That's where forgiveness is. And again, not necessarily a thing to do, but a feeling to have arise and all of it arise. So just love your mom the way that you do. And I believe that'll help the situation out incredibly so. But again, you can't really help your mom to forgive. You know what I mean? That helps her, but you can't, there's nothing you can say or do or, you know, explain to her and things. It just doesn't work that way for people. Just even us talking about forgiveness seems like something, and it's already got people stirred up, you know, in the chat room and elsewhere, maybe those who are listening about forgiveness and what that means, and I can't do that. And, you know, it's already an immediate aversion away from it. So it's difficult to talk about with something like that. But I hope that helps, Elena. I hope that you understand a little bit about what I'm saying and begin there. Just love your mom like you already do. Okay, Mark.
Very, very nice. But, you know, she said that you told her a couple of weeks ago and go, she'd meet someone. So she went out and got all the medi, pedi, and facial and massage. I like that.
Somebody, I better get ready.
No, I want a massage.
No, but she did
I'm ready.
She did the whole package deal. Good for you, Elena. I'm like, yay. I think that's fantastic. So who do you need to, who do I want to forgive? You guys? No, I'm joking. No, I have nothing to forgive about you guys. You're unforgiving. No, you're all not. You're all not part of my forgiveness campaign. But you know, I think I need to forgive myself for being tormented by not forgiving. That's where it all comes down to. I get really upset that I'm not able. I don't know. I get confused. And you know what? Aren't the most enlightened confused? Sometimes.
Well, it's better than not thinking about it at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. But it is. It is. I mean, I like try to tell people you need to forgive it. And I mean that when I'm giving readings to people. But I do know it's difficult. But I just think that some things, like again, they just come around and around. They don't come full circle. They just keep coming, bam, bang, bang, like bam, 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 over and over, and you know, maybe I just, he said something earlier about how we should say we are okay. We're, you know, like me being me, are okay, instead of maybe I don't need, you know, did this, so I don't need to be truly, well, whatever. Maybe getting away from all that. Just saying, as an S-A-Y-I-N. And we, you know, anybody's calling out there, 724-444-7851. You can call in or not. Or you can ask the chat and chat. Everybody's very shy tonight. And that's unforgiving. No,
yeah, we will not forgive you if you don't call in. No, we're kidding.
No, we don't push
people. Do you want to be forgiveness?
Yeah. But some people do. You want forgiveness? Better call. No, but people, I think, tend to be sometimes shy about calling in, or they think they don't want to, you know, get another call in. Please don't feel that way, because there's no unforgiveness here for you calling in. Weekend. No, really. So please call in, even if you don't feel that you should, because you did before. We don't have a problem with that. So you know who you are. I know who you are out there. I'm looking at you right there. So Steve, Bobby, Steve. There's Brenda, Bobby, Steve. Do alphabetical order. You know, I've never had a problem forgiving well, no, that's not true. What am I talking about? Even my denial is sitting in. You know what? I have forgiven something I didn't put much energy thinking about, and that made us the key to it, because my daughter's father is not a good person. He has mental illness, and it's the way it is, but psychopath mental illness is very difficult to forgive, but I forgive myself for tolerating it for so many years. And that was really hard for me. So I did get to that step. I had to forgive myself. Once I did that, I was able to release from him. So maybe that's what it's all about. Yeah, because I felt very, speaking of being in the work I do, like what kind of control freak would want to help somebody like myself?
You know, Maureen, I always try to forgive myself, but then I realize I've never done anything wrong.
Yeah, I know, but I did do something wrong.
I'm only joking. That's lots of things I know, that are wrong.
Oh, man, that just... Oh, come on.
I didn't do nothing wrong.
Archangel Frampton, not.
You need a little halo.
Yeah, halo. Oh, you know, it looks like we're having a little bit of problems getting the calls through for, you know, unforgiving reasons. And it doesn't happen all the time, but for those of you trying to call in, I know it's frustrating because you're not getting through because they're asking for something you don't have. This happened before, but Doug is on the line working on it. He's on the line. He's flown over onto the line itself, the cable.
He's on it.
Cold. He's on it. And but I think that there is a little bit of a problem trying to get you guys through. And no, darn it. So if you are trying to get through, sorry, just keep trying, because we're trying to resolve this. But in the meantime, if anybody in here wants to say they forgive me, I have no idea why you're talking about that. Because if it was a ring I gave you, I totally deny.
Well, we can take lessons from our animals. They forgive us all the time.
They do.
Yes, they do.
They are like...
Do they forgive us? Do they forgive us, or do they not even really notice what we do in the first place?
they do I just want to be fed?
They're unconditional. I think they know where their part is. They're teaching us lots of lessons right now, aren't they? Come on. I mean, geez, they're saving other animals that they normally wouldn't save. We can't even, you know, try to show.
Maureen, I was laughing with my business partner the other day because I was saying that one of my cats, Oscar, has become, he's always been really shy. And I said, Oscar's become really cuddly. He's softened up. And she said, no, he hasn't. You've softened up and become more cuddly.
Yeah.
That's actually quite true.
Very true. Like, cuddly.
Right.
I'll be over. You can be, I'll come over. And Brenda, you do have a call from Pennsylvania, but I'll be over, Stephen. I'll be cuddly with you.
Great.
I'll open up.
Hit me up.
Hi, Pennsylvania. How are you?
Hi, Brenda. I got through.
All right. What can I do for you this evening?
I just need some encouragement.
What you need to know, honey?
Excuse me?
What do you need to know? You need some encouragement? Okay, let's see what's going on here.
Let's say a date fell through.
Well, you know what? You need to have inner strength here because I still feel that there's a bond there. It might seem a little bit like, you know, it hasn't come together, the timing is off or something like that. But I still feel that there's a strong connection there. And so it's what I'm getting is, you know, to be continued, like try again, or this is something that's still, you know, kind of, it's there. It's up in the air a little bit. It's nothing you did. I feel it has something to do with the other person in relation to their work situation or something that happened at the last minute, and it's related to work and communication. You know what? I'm seeing fun and joyfulness with this, so it can be approached casually as well. Are you going to ask her out again? I know,
well,
I'm putting you on the spot.
See, it's difficult because I don't have a car and I'm kind of stuck here. But so, in some way, in other words, yes, in some way, I'll.
There's creative ways of spending time together. Doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you can go out and pay for a fabulous dinner. You can always take a taxi, or you could cook dinner at home, or you could do something special. You know.
Yeah, I could figure out something.
And so I'm feeling that perhaps it's going to move into that direction. I like the energy around it. You know, it's something that, you know what? It's kind of like a frosting on a cake. It looks like it's going to happen, and it'll be sweet when it does.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
but you have to forgive first. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, well, my philosophy is that if they die, I can forgive them, but I don't want that to happen.
Oh, nah. I was just joking with you on that one because we were talking in the chat room, but...
It's called the running joke.
You know what? You're entering in some transformation, my dear. This is a good magical time for you right now.
That's encouraging.
Yeah, it's a magical time. It's a time to put your desires out into the universe and they come back to you. Seriously.
Okay.
All right, honey. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brenda. Very nice. And I have a caller from New Jersey. Hello, New Jersey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hi, how
am
I
speaking to?
I'm doing well. My name is Simone.
Simone. Hi, Simone. And this is Maureen. And what can I help you with?
Well, currently I'm doing a temp job with a bank. And so far I'm doing very well. And I would like to know if they will eventually make it a permanent position for me.
Very good direct question, everybody. Thank you, Simone, for asking in a very direct way. Okay. So, this is a very good one. And... this is my feeling. This is what I'm getting. And, you know, I feel that there's something else going on here. I think that you're overqualified for this position, just saying. And I do see that if they do offer it to you, I see that you need to get back into, I'm not saying a conventional schooling, but some type of student type of situation that will even go further than what you're doing now. I think that they'll offer it to you, no doubt about it, but your sleep looks like you're drained. You haven't been sleeping well, but I know you didn't ask me about that, but I just am seeing that, yes, they'll offer to you, but I think that there's something bigger and better, and I feel that you're getting to a point where I see it's time for you to take back something that it hasn't passed you by, something that you could put you into a certificate, getting a certificate what do you call it? Yeah, certified, something like that that I feel that you is attainable. But in the next 4 weeks, I do feel that you'll have the opportunity. And so if they do make it permanent, they may be able to offer this and pay for it too, which would even be better, but that which I feel would lead you into more of a better situation. Do you follow me on this?
That's funny that you said that, because they're willing to pay for a certificate, because I love the business field. And I'm trying to go back to community college, but I just had a baby. He's 2.
Oh, no wonder why you're tired.
But that's funny you said it, because they talked about getting some type of certification. It's called computerized accounting and bookkeeping. And because I do a lot of accounting work, and they said I can do that and then go back to school in the fall. So they'll pay for my certification. So I'm like, oh, how does she know that? But yeah, but that's
I'm all that. And no, I just, no, but you know, I'm glad because we connected well and you were open to it. And that's, I'm not all, you know, godlike, but the fact of it is whatever, because I'm an empath.
Okay.
You know, and I can feel your energy, but you know, I can see you're tired, but no doubt you had a child, you have a child, a 2-year-old? Yeah, well, that's tiresome. You know, the thing of it is, I do feel, I guess what I was trying to say is, I feel there's a good opportunity here, but it's going to lead you into even a bigger and better opportunity. So this is just like an opening of a door. Oh my God, I'm getting metaphoric on you, but
okay.
Yes, I do feel, and also even though I do see you have interrupted sleep. It looks like interrupted sleep, if you hadn't told me, but 2-year-olds, you know, people don't get it. You know, there's no 2-year-old. They say that 2-year-olds, I forgot the name. They call the 2-year-old, what do they call it?
Terrible twos, toddlers.
Terrible twos, but that doesn't always happen. Sometimes it's before or after that.
Yeah.
So, you know, your sleep, it is hard, but I do feel that you're going to get like this opportunity to go back like I see as a student, which is actually deserving for you. And this is the best part. And so I do see you staying on. If not, you're not using them just for that. But I think without this opportunity, I feel you're overqualified, but for this opportunity, you're going to get introduced into maybe the certificate, you know, getting into the, like what you just said, what you would gain. And I do feel that it's going to lead you into even a more, this won't be a very long lived, and I'm not saying because they get rid of you, it's because I think more opportunity will come your way, but I feel that this is definitely, I see you moving forward, whereas before there was a lot of stagnation about you working, probably because, you know, your child and stuff, you're getting back into things, but the stagnation I see moving forward within the next 13 weeks, I don't know where I get that from, but we're just saying, 13 weeks.
Because I was going to start school in 13 weeks, like go to night school for like 3 days for like a certificate, and then, you know, move on.
So that would be the certificate. That's fantastic. I see you really thriving and moving forward. And you know, your dreams are going to be intense. I do feel that you're feeling a little bit with this, even after the certificate, you'll feel like a little bit, that's what I'm looking for, self-imprisonment, like you don't know which way to go. It'll only be temporary. It's almost like, because I think you're going to get there's so much good stuff coming your way. Let's just put it this way. I do see you even heading away from, I'm giving you a little bit more of a longer term. Usually I don't do that, but I'm going to do this now. That I see by around November, and this should have happened, there's been a delay, but by September into the November time, 2013, I see you attaining some really positive material happenings. Good. Positive for you. I'm not saying, you know, you're going to win the lottery and trillions of dollars, but whatever it is in your work, where you're heading towards, you're in a really, even though it's uncomfortable and tiresome right now, you're heading in a really good place, and where you're supposed to be at is exactly where you're supposed to be, I feel. So it's not so much of this job being the end of it all. I see them bringing you on, and it's not going to be just temporary, but you're going to get a lot gained in this. And it's not because you're using them or anything else like that either. It's just part of I see these like necessary steps that are going on that are deserving of what you need. And it's really positive. So it may be not what you are asking, but yes, as far as, yes, I do them taking you on, and also my most ideal, like I said, with you getting the schooling or like the student I see, and you'll be able to really absorb. You're going to be very successful. You're going to be very successful.
Thank you. I had a hard 2012. I lost my job. Being here 6 years.
Wow, you're going to be very successful. You know, and the thing is, I see you being very successful also in the fact that you're going to be successful because you don't look at your, you approach money in a very good way. It's not, and it looks like if someone's successful but approaches it in a very good way by, you know what money can do, but you also have an honor for money. So when I say successful, you're spiritually, I see money success, but I also see a lot of new ideas, fertility. I'm not saying more babies so much, but fertility of new ideas, everything about fertility of new ideas. And also could be, you know, fertility has a lot to do with new beginnings of babies or whatever. But I see you're going to be a kick-ass businesswoman by the time I see November rolling around. I really do. Things are going to be, you're moving forward after a time of stagnation. It's just a bit of a longer process maybe than you thought, but not really. It's not that far away. You're heading, everything, you're doing well. I know it's tiresome, but you're doing well.
Thank you so much.
Well, no, it's your reading. Thank you, really. So. I mean, really, this is all about you. You own it. But things will be okay. And it'll be kind of like interesting and not so. But when it starts feeling like that, know that it's, everything is how it should be because you're not clear on what you're moving. You know, there's no more stagnation. I see nothing but movement going on here towards where I'm seeing later a success. And you are overqualified a bit, but you need to get back into the schooling thing, absolutely. And this is by means to get it. And they're also getting a great person like you working in this area, too. There's no doubt about it. So,
yeah, because I've been nervous because they're like three other people, but they've been like making sure I get my logins.
Maureen, don't mean to butt in, but Texas is waiting for Steve.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm glad you butted in. Well, anyway, I hope I helped you, and I wish you well. You're going to do fine.
Thank you so much, and God bless.
Thanks, Brenda. I wasn't paying attention. Steve?
Huh? Hi. Who's calling from Texas this time? Hello, Texas?
Hello.
Hi. What's your name?
Celia,
how can I help?
Yes, I was calling. I have a concern, I guess. I left this guy that I was dating for a while. I left him about 2 years ago, but I'm still in love with him and I want him back. But he's dating another woman, and there's talk out there that he's already engaged with her, and I just wanted to know if there's any chance at all that we can reconcile and, you know, get back together.
Let's see. Honestly, everything's possible, but I feel my guides were saying you need to move forward with your life, and then I looked at the cards, and the cards indicate that you won't be with him. As I said,
and I won't.
Yeah, they indicate that you won't. I mean, as I said, you can make anything happen, but my strong feeling is that you're holding, I know it's really, really hard, and I've been in that situation. you need to move forward, and you need to trust that if you are meant to be with him, then it will happen regardless. But I feel strongly that you've got your life on hold, and he's obviously moved forward. And I'd love to say to you, yes, you're going to get what you want, but the cards are saying that based on current circumstances, it's not likely to happen. And I don't want to disappoint you, but equally, I feel like the message is important because you do need to reflect upon moving forward with your life and not having things on hold because of a previous relationship that you would like to start again.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I know it's hard when you love someone, but you really, you know, spiritually, hermetically, metaphysically, you have to trust life and trust spirit and know that if the two of you really are meant to be together, then you will be. But it's not right for you to yourself to hold on because you prevent other things from happening. You need to move on with your life and be excited about life and trust. Trust that spirit, God, the universe, whichever term you want to use, they do have a plan for each of us. And the other thing that I used to say to myself when I was in a similar situation was, I know that we live for eternity, and I know that we're all interconnected, and I know that the person I loved and still love, I know that I will be with that person someday in some life. I know that we're connected, I know that we will be again, but I know it's not for now, and I move forward with life, and I feel that's what you need to do. And trusting again that if the two of you are meant to be together in this lifetime, then you will be. But putting your life on hold is not the right thing to do for yourself. Okay?
Okay.
I wish you lots of love.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
His love's lots. Bobby, we have a, could you read from Julie a chat question, please?
Well, it's from Julie for one.
Oh, gosh. Ooh.
That should tell you right there. Julie says, do you see me purchasing? By the way, we love Julie. Julie is like our honorary chat room coordinator, moderator. She does everything inside of there.
Lovely. She's lovely.
She is very lovely. Mm-hmm. So her question is, do you see me purchasing the home I'm living in presently? There's been a verbal agreement made, but now they have delayed it. So I question their follow through. I don't think it's their follow through that you're questioning, Julie. I don't think you're set in your own self of, I know this is what you want, but because you're not completely in vibration and set, you're going to look for things to question. Is it going to work out? Is it not going to work? Because you want it so bad. You see what I mean? So we do that. You just have to follow through yourself, and then the universe will follow through with you. So that's the coaching answer. As far as the psychic answer goes, yeah, I still see this being a 9 out of 10. In other words, I see the delay that you're talking about, but it doesn't feel important or significant enough to change the course of things that is happening. I don't even think it was their delay. I think, obviously you have two or three other people involved in the whole selling of a house type of thing, and I think it's somebody else that is kind of holding this up just a little bit. Some paperwork are getting authentication for something or whatever. I don't see anything holding this up in the long run. I like this house for you, and I like the fact that when you first moved in, you didn't automatically think, I'm going to buy this house. You kind of let it grow on you, or it organically came up later that I feel at home now, I'm ready to buy. And you were set then. So go back to that very first feeling when that first came up, set in that, and then you won't necessarily be looking for other signs that this may or may not work out. Do you see what I mean? You'll just be set where you're at, and there's more peace and flow to be found there than where you're at. So There, at more to quote Maureen, there you have it.
Thank you for giving me that one. Okay. And there you got it. Thank you. And Julie, thank you for being you. And Bobby, you too, and everybody else. And I'd like to thank everybody for joining us this evening and forgiveness. It's very important. Let's see if we can get it straight. So I guess, you know, this has come to that part of the show. We will be not taking any more calls, and it brings us to yet another show from 2 years ago on forgiveness. Thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes and also in the chat room more so than ever lately, which is kind of nice seeing you in there, Doug. And it keeps us on our toes. Wait, maybe I'm not. I'm closing too soon. And next week's show, I'm getting to that, is Brenda. What do we have to look forward to next week, Brenda?
Well, it's going to be really fun. I have an Indian guru, Nandi. Guru Nandi is going to talk to us about the path to enlightenment. It's going to be pretty interesting because it'll be interesting to hear about how he was born into and his spiritual experiences and all the stuff that he's going on. And it's going to be pretty interesting.
It sounds fantastic. We mm-hmm. haven't had a guru on, I don't think, ever yet.
I've been wanting to get him for a while, and it just was the right timing. He just got back from London, and he'll tell us all about that next week. So
that'll be great. Fascinating. Well, mm-hmm. I'll say my goodbyes. Goodbye. Bless your hearts.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.